We're in a series talking about words from the fire. We're going through the Ten Commandments, and today we're going to be looking at the third commandment, which says, do not take the Lord's name in vain. Now, we've kind of gotten out of order because of Mother's Day. We wanted to do honor your mother and father. Starting next week, we'll be on number six, and we're going to go through all the first six on your card that you have. But today, we gave you a different card when you came in. So take out your green card, as it were. And this is stolen from a high school history teacher of mine. Harley Shaw used to pass these out in the hall many years ago when I was in high school. He would never harass anybody. He would never go up and yell at a student. He would simply walk out into the hall and say, here's your card. And so I have these cards reproduced. We have lots of them out in the lobby. They're available. This is what I kind of like to say. Listen to the message first. And when you feel like maybe you've made some progress in your life on this subject, maybe we can begin to pass these out and share them with others. But allow me to read them to you. 10 reasons why I swear. It makes my mother proud. It makes me look macho. It proves I have self-control. It indicates how clearly my mind operates. It makes my conversation pleasing to everybody. It leaves no doubt as to my good breeding. It shows off my intelligence. It is an unmistakable sign of my culture and refinement. It makes me a chick magnet. It is my way of honoring God who said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's a little tough to read. But I have one in my wallet. I have some to give away. So whichever side of that you need to be on. But I'm going to tell you, this was hard for me. Because I thought when I started this series, this will be an easy one. This is not difficult. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. But everything God says in His Word, there is another side to it. I mean, on your bookmark, it says, don't misuse the name of God. Well, that must mean that there's a way to use the name of God. Does that make sense to anybody? He says, don't misuse the name, but therefore it's meant to be used. And so we're going to talk about both sides of that today, but we process things we've said and done. And you know my story, I've shared it with you before, but I learned to cuss very well in a baseball dugout. In fact, it's amazing the abuse that Jesus takes on a sports field. And probably a lot of you understand that concept. And we're going to talk today about why God's name deserves to be treated properly, because it's meant to be used as a cry for salvation. His name is meant to be used in prayer. His name is meant to be used as a sign of rescue, not as a curse word, not as slander, not to tear somebody else down. The name of God, we know Him as Jesus. That's the Greek translation of His name. Yeshua would be the Hebrew, or Joshua. And the name means what? Savior. It means Savior. Well, no wonder His name is special. His very name reminds us of what He came to do, to die on the cross, to rescue us, and why He told the Israelite people, don't misuse my name. Because remember, in the first two commandments, He said, I am the God. I'm the God that appeared to Moses in the bush. I am the supreme God. I am the creator God. We talked about the Sabbath, that He created things and He rested on the seventh day. He said, I am the God who delivered you out of slavery. Then He says, don't misuse my name. Now, the Jewish people to this day will not use the name of God. They won't write it, nor will they say it. You know God is not His name, right? Let's try that again. You know God is not His name, right? God is German, and it means the good one. And that's exactly what the writers, translators do in the Bible. And that's exactly what Jewish people do this day. If the Jewish people are writing something down, they will write G/D. They won't even write the word God. Or if they're using Lord, they'll leave out the O. They'll do the same thing. It's called, are you ready for this? It's called circumlocution. Yeah, you can write that down if you want. That'll be the only time you'll ever hear that word, and you'll only need it. But it means they put something else in the place of. So when Jewish people are referring to God, they may refer to Him as the Almighty. They might refer to Him as Lord. They might refer to Him in some of His capacities where He says, I am the Good Shepherd. I am the truth. They may refer in some ways like that, anything not to misuse the name of God. But the problem with that is He does not tell us not to use His name. He says don't misuse it. His name is meant to be used. Now, there in the passage, when you read in the Old Testament, the covenant name of God is written YHWH. Okay? It's called the Tetragrammaton. There's two big words for you today. Okay? We're not exactly sure how to pronounce it. Some people pronounce it Jehovah. Others pronounce it Yahweh. But He did not say that we should not pronounce His name. He just said, when you use My name, use it properly. In fact, when you go to court, there was a time when you would raise your right hand and you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me. Yeah, they don't ask you that anymore. Which is just as good because most people are lying anyway. What they found out is it really depends what your definition of God is. Because if your God is Allah, if it's a Hindu God, if it's a statue, if it's yourself, you can say, so help me God, but what does it matter? This command, if you really want to get right down to the core of it, what this command says is you shall not swear by God's name that this is true if it's false. He didn't say not to invoke God's name. He said, but if you're going to make the commitment, you better tell the truth. Why? Because it says, we'll read it together in just a minute, it says God will not hold any of us guiltless. It's like the old Missouri farmer that had a federal agent come out to his farm. And the federal agent said, I'm going to cross your fence, across your field, and across your farm. The old farmer said, you are not coming across my fence or my farm. The federal agent said, oh, yes, I am. I'm going to cross your fence and I'm going to cross your farm. The farmer said, no, you're not going to cross my farm. The federal agent reached into his coat pocket, took out a piece of paper, and he said, sir, right here I have a bench warrant. I am going to cross your farm. The farmer said, okay, cross my farm. So the guy, federal agent, climbs the fence, gets up, gets about halfway across the field, runs into the farmer's bull. The bull starts chasing the federal agent around the field. The federal agent is yelling to the farmer, help me, help me. And the farmer said, show him your paper, sir. Show him your paper. I wonder if we don't play that same game with the Almighty. We say really dumb things like this. I'm sure God understands. I'm sure God understands my sexual situation. I'm sure God understands my ethics. I'm sure God understands why I have to lie in this situation. I'm sure God understands why I use His name this way. I'm sure God understands when I'm going to this party that I shouldn't be going to. God's showing you the paper. He says in verse 7, anybody that misuses my name, He said, I will not hold you guiltless because it is that very name that's going to save you. Well, you're here and maybe you're saying, well, I don't even believe there's a God. Okay, that's all right. We're glad you're here. Thanks for coming. But most of us do. Let me take you through an exercise, okay? Let's breathe. Breathe in, breathe out. Here we go. Therapeutic. Okay, now I'm going to take you through another process. We're going to do it again. This time, I want you to hear the name of God. You ready? Breathe in. Yahweh. So with every breath you take, God's designed you to say the name of God. Your first breath, all the breaths while you were telling Him you didn't believe in Him, and the very last breath when you step out of this world, Yahweh. Wow. That'll mess you up. All right? So Everything about us is designed to step us into the presence of God. And every time you and I breathe or utter the name of God, we are stepping into His presence. And Leroy Lawson says this. He said, either you are praising God at each moment you step into His presence, or you're abusing Him. And he said, if you're abusing the name of God, then you are abusing God Himself. How would you like to stand before God? Say, God introduces you. Say, oh yeah, this is the guy that's been abusing me for the last 50 years. That's not a place that any of us want to stand. That's what this commandment is forbidding. So stand with me out of respect for God's word. It's one line. You'll notice it's not a lot of verses, because I didn't want to violate that skit. So it's just one verse. Let's read it together. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. You can be seated. So I use His name to cry out for salvation. I use His name to pray for forgiveness. I use His name to pray for healing. I use His name to claim restoration in people's lives, in marriages, in families. His name is to be used, but is not to be abused. There's some simple facts that we're going to look at. He talks about, first of all, the name of God. It's a big deal. Everybody's name, I think, means something special to us. We're named after somebody or whatever. However we ended up with the name we have, our name is special. God's name, He gave it to Himself, but His name means, I am the one who saves you. I am the Almighty One. Why would you abuse my name? Now listen, all the time, all the bad things I've said in my life, and I'm just going to go back to the dugout because that was the worst part of it. You know what? Never once did Muhammad get abused. Not Buddha. Not Moses. It was always Jesus. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, spiritually, I can explain that to you because Satan has us under attack. But what a bunch of cowards. The next time somebody's taken Jesus' name in vain around you, why don't you tell them to grow up and be a man and take Muhammad's name in vain? See how quickly they are to use his name. See, Jesus' name is meant to be sacred, so Satan's going to slander it any possible way that he can. But God's name, it's a big deal. All names are a big deal. You know, George Washington, Benedict Arnold. I know a lot of people named George. I don't know many named Benedict. There's a reason. Jesus. I know lots of Latin people named Jesus. I don't know that anybody names their children Judas. Because names mean things. And so God is reminding us of that fact that His name is not to be used as a curse. It's not to be used as a cliche. It's not to be used in mockery. It's not to be used in jokes. His name is serious business. Philippians 2 says that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That name is powerful. That name is serious. Listen, Colonel Sanders said that when he became a Christian, he lost half of his vocabulary. You know what? At least he was willing to admit it and to say, these things need to go out of my life. Sadly, a lot of people that I know that are Christians make no attempt to clean up their life, their ethics, their morals, their words, their lifestyle. They just say, okay, I'm going to nail Jesus on top of everything else I do. At least Colonel Sanders had the integrity to say, no, that's got to go. I'm now a follower of Jesus. See, throughout Scripture, there are adjectives that are attached to the name of God. Yes, He uses the covenant name. I am. I am the originator. I am the creator. I am your savior. But throughout Scripture, there's other examples where He says, I'm your provider. Genesis 22. Jeremiah 23, verse 6, says that the Lord is our righteousness. I'm glad somebody's my righteousness. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23. also picked up by Jesus in John 10 when he says, I am the good shepherd. Yeah, that's a cute little illustration. We think of, you know, the kids' department. We talk about sheep and isn't this nice? And you understand, the shepherd's job is to protect those sheep. The shepherd's job is to get the sheep to food. The shepherd's job is to get the sheep to water. The shepherd's job is to protect the sheep from wolves. And the shepherd's job is to make sure the sheep make it home. So don't look at this as some, oh, well, he's, yeah, the shepherd. No, this is serious business. And so throughout Scripture, you see these additional adjective added to his name. And that's, again, why his name is meant to be so sacred to us. But we live at a time where, I mean, let's be honest, I don't know, political correctness, maybe just stupidity, insanity, has such taken over our culture that it's hard to tell. Do we have that Anthony Weiner? If you have children, you might want to cover their ears. You may remember Anthony Weiner, our friend from New York, sending pictures of his personal parts, different places. And when he got questioned on it, this is what he said. I can't tell you absolutely what someone else is going to consider inappropriate or not. But you know what? God can. Man may have a hard time. Maybe he is not smart enough to figure this out, but God is. And God is looking right through all of it, and God does not see the bull. Okay? Going back to where we started here. God sees right past all of that. So God's name's a big deal, but God is a big deal. I mean, let me ask you this. If God's not a big deal, what is? What is? I mean, what comes close? Well, yeah, I mean, God's an important part of my life, but then there's volleyball. Then there's soccer. I mean, what could come close to God? It would be tantamount to this. You walk into your home one day and you say, Mom and Dad, now listen, all mom and dads have problems and everybody grew up in a dysfunctional family, so I'll just save you the time, okay? But you walk in and you say, Mom and Dad, I just want you to know that I don't need either of you. I could be here without either one of you. I'm not real good with biology, but I think that's impossible. Would you agree with that? That's a pretty sorry statement to make. You may not like your mom, you may not like your dad, but to say to them, I don't need either one of you. I could have self-generated. You laugh. Is that what we do to God? God, by the way, I don't believe in creation. I don't believe there's a creator. Things just blew up. I evolved. Here I am. I'm the man. Not only did I make myself, but I am a self-made man. I take care of myself. I've made all my own money. I'm the man. In fact, maybe I'm God. Is that not what we do to him? Because when you don't honor him, when he's not the priority, when you don't see him as the deliverer, when you don't honor him by keeping that one day to remember who he is, when you don't honor his name, when you don't honor your mother and father, all these things come back together because God gets kicked out. It would be kind of like this. I've been in courtrooms before. Thankfully, I've never been there where I was the defendant. But I have been there, and there is an awesome moment when that judge comes in. I don't care whether it's a civil event or a criminal event. When the judge comes in and the dude says, stand up and sit down, you do exactly what you're told. It's an incredible moment, isn't it? Now, it'd be like sitting there and you're the defendant and you say, just a minute, dude, judge. Before we go any further, I want you to know that I am not afraid of you. Judge would say, would you chain him to the chair and we'll see if we can change his mind about being afraid of me. That's the way people respond to God. Sometimes it's how we respond to God. And that's what's scary, because God is a big deal. His name is not to be trifled with, but he is not to be trifled with. He is the creator of the universe. And people think, oh, I'm going to tell God a thing or two. Listen, Revelation shows you several pictures of the Apostle John, who I guarantee you was a lot closer to Jesus than any of us. And every time he ran into an angel, he fell face down. as if he was dead. Didn't even need God to show up. It was just an angel. That was enough to get John's attention. So let me bring this to you in Missouri language. You ain't going to tell God nothing. You and I are going to bow at his feet, either to our own condemnation or to our salvation. But God's a big deal. The last fact is that God's salvation itself is a big deal. I don't know how you look at it, how you look at the fact that Jesus died on the cross for you. I don't know how seriously you take that fact, whether you just kind of roll that in. Yes, Jesus died for me and I like volleyball. I mean, if that's the way you're looking at it, you really have missed out. Listen, you can tell by looking at me that swimming is probably not my natural gift, but it doesn't stop me from trying. I have been in lots of bodies of water. Ryan Lotke down in Port Orange really has nothing to fear when I get into the swimming pool. But I have been rescued since I was about, I think 12 years old was the first time. I've been pulled out of swimming pools, ponds, lakes, rivers, oceans, several seas, everything but a bathtub. I'm pretty good in the bathtub. Now, it doesn't stop me from trying because I want to see things. I want to experience things. But never once when somebody's drugged me out, pulled me back over to the side of the pool or pulled me into a boat, never once have I said, I can't believe you did that. I didn't need you. I didn't need you to rescue me. Never once did I say that. In fact, I was always appreciative even while they were lecturing me. I was very appreciative of what they had done for me. Isn't that how we should respond to Jesus? After everything that he has accomplished on our behalf, shouldn't we be willing to understand that this is the supreme event, my salvation? God's name's a big deal. God's a big deal. And God giving his life for me, that's about as big a deal as you could get. Listen, the book of Job, after everything Job went through, Job makes this statement after all the grief and the pain. He says, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. So he didn't even have to say it. The name of the Lord is to be honored. It is to be lifted up. So I want to finish with this story. I've been sitting on this for about 6 weeks. Actually, I found out right before Easter, but I wanted it to be the right time because I didn't know how to say it at first, and I wanted to make sure that God gets all the credit. But on December 31st, 2009, it was maybe one of the most difficult days of my life. My doctor shows up at my house and tells me that I have leukemia. And you all found out that weekend. Some of you were there at the hospital with me praying for me. And I'll be forever grateful for you, for that and for all the prayers that you all offered on my behalf. And I will, I mean, just what Christians you've modeled for me, what it's really supposed to all be about. 5 years I've gone through this process, and I've been pretty transparent with you about it. We've been honest, and we've also joked and laughed about it, that, you know, this is where we are, and we'll make the best of what God has given to us. Well, 6 weeks ago, I went to the doctor, and what they try to do with leukemia is they try to just get the numbers down. All right, I don't remember the exact numbers, but let's just say I was at, I don't know, 1,000. They want me to be at 5, okay? And if they can get you down to 6 or 7 and keep you there, that's good. So I went to see Dr. Weiss, my oncologist, about 6 weeks ago, and he looked up from his computer and he said, Joe, you have your miracle. It is 0.0. Now, I want you to give God praise. Have a seat. I want you to give God praise, but I want to talk about this. Because here's some questions. Why did I get leukemia? I don't know. Why did God wait 5 years to heal me? I don't know. Why did God heal me? I don't know. Those good answers for you? Because I've got good friends that love Jesus, and they've gone home to be with Him. Okay? God found another way to heal them. I don't know, except that, you know, I was so bad and so many things I did in the dugout that I'm got to work for a while yet before I get to go. I don't want you to think, well, dang it, if I'm not healed, then something's wrong with me. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I am saying I'm giving glory to God. I even waited 6 weeks to make sure, okay? But He gets all the credit. Listen, I don't know why God does what He does. I'll quote Job one more time. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, I'm done. Right over there behind that wall is a room called The Link. I'll be in there to greet first-time guests, to welcome you. If you need prayer, maybe you're battling with cancer. Maybe you're battling with marriage issues. I don't know. I'm going to tell you, we're going to pray for healing. We're going to pray for restoration. We're going to pray for wholeness. And then it's up to God what He does with that. Is that fair with everybody? But the name of God is to be honored. We had some baptisms last night. We had a young lady baptized this morning. If you've not been baptized, we'll take care of that before you leave. Get with us on that. But don't leave without getting the ministry that you need from God. Let's stand together. Father, as we prepare to sing this last song, You get all the credit. You get all the glory. And God, there are so many times in our lives when we do not understand. But I pray that we learn to praise You on the bad day, on the worst day, during the 5-year gaps, and on the victory days, that the name of the Lord is lifted up. And God, I know there are people here wrestling with all kinds of things today. And we're going to lift up Your name in spite of the circumstances, in spite of how things look right now. We continue to pray for the miracles that only You can bring. We lift high the name of Jesus.